How many of you have been in a social situation, maybe with the family or friends or workmates, and the topic of religion came up in one way or another, and after a while, someone in the group, perhaps trying to be friendly or maybe trying to be unfriendly, says something like, "Well, really, what difference does it make? We all believe in the same God. We just take different roads to get to Him. What difference does it make?" We hear things like this all the time. And sometimes maybe we even say it ourselves, not thinking it through when we say it, but trying again. Maybe we're in a difficult situation and want to just try to be friendly. And we fall into saying things like that. It has a certain attraction to it. But then we run into some problems when we hear the one who we believe to be the one God tell us, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough." In this phrase, Jesus is saying that there really are not different roads to God, at least not in the way of indifferentism that most people usually mean it. We see this especially when we remember other sayings of Jesus in the Gospels. For example, he says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction." Or the other word here might be better translated as to hell. And those who enter it, he says, are many. And he says elsewhere also, "Whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate is a thief and a robber. Amen, amen, and say to you, I am the gate for the sheep." Sure, we all live different lives, and so in a certain sense, we do take different roads. But in the end, we all have to stop when we come to that one narrow gate that is Jesus and enter and follow the one road, His one way to the Father. Some argue, but look at texts like the one that we find in today's first reading, where it says, "I know their works and their thoughts, and I come to gather nations of every language. They shall come and see my glory." People ask, doesn't that mean that all peoples, even non-Christian peoples, will go to heaven no matter what their religious beliefs? The thing is, that text in the first reading today goes on to say, "They shall bring all your brothers and sisters from all the nations to Jerusalem, to the holy mountain, just as the Israelites bringing their offering to the house of the Lord in clean vessels." In other words, one day the God of the Jews will come to earth and bring all nations to worship Him in the way that He would tell them, just as He told the Israelites, and come together as one, as the Israelites came together as one in Jerusalem. And now, as Christians, we believe that Jesus Christ is in fact the incarnation of the God of the Jews, who did come to earth to tell all the nations the way and call them into the one church. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And he told the apostles just before he left us to go up to heaven, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." He didn't say, "Leave them alone, they'll find me, and they can just take their little road, whatever road they're on." Some might argue, well then, as long as someone's a Christian, that's good enough. They're baptized and they're taught. Again, we turn to the words of Jesus Himself. Speaking to Simon Peter, He said, "And I tell you, you are the rock, and on this rock I will build my church." Or speaking to all His disciples, He said, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you." Or as He said to His Father, "I pray, Father, that they may all become perfectly one." The only religion we find that follows these teachings of Jesus Christ, the primacy of Peter, the centrality of the Eucharist, and the unity of the Church, is in the Catholic Church. So following Jesus is a very narrow gate, that leads to the Catholic Church. Now, it's true that many Christians who aren't Catholic, and even many people who aren't even Christian, try every day to enter through the narrow gate. They truly seek God, even though through no fault of their own, maybe they haven't come to know Jesus or the fullness of the teachings of Jesus in the Catholic Church. Again, I say through no fault of their own. And if they truly believe and accept the way and the truth of God as best that they can come to understand it, truly, with, you know, a good conscience, they, whatever they discover as being true, they truly try to follow that. Of course God won't deny them salvation. I mean, He's a God of mercy. He's not playing games with us. But an example of this, and it's an extreme example, but it clarifies things, is, you know, a person who's born on an island out in the Pacific somewhere, and they never hear a missionary speak about Jesus. Well, are they all going to go to hell? What if they're really trying, you know, through the natural law, they discover some, you know, good and evil, and they try to be good as best they can, and they pray to God whose name they don't know every day? Surely God will have mercy on them. If they're truly trying to be the best they can be with what they've truly tried to know. Now, that's an extreme example, and there's, you know, we can come back more, maybe more towards less extreme examples, but enter through the narrow gate, he says. The narrow gate. It's hard to walk through a gate when you don't share in the full teachings and instruments of grace that Christ has entrusted to the whole church, in particular to the Catholic Church. So that, in fact, as Jesus says elsewhere, the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Kind of flies in the face of those who think that we're all going to heaven, or think that if you're basically a good person, it's easy to get to heaven, and God will overlook the fact that, well, you really didn't like this commandment or that commandment, so you really didn't keep it, but you were good in every other way. That you really didn't care about what He taught, you were more concerned with what you thought was good. The gate is narrow, and the way is hard, and those who find it are few. Unfortunately, this also sometimes happens to Catholics. Just because you're outwardly a Catholic doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Even if you memorized all the teachings of the popes back to Peter, and even if you come to Mass every Sunday and eat the flesh of the Son of Man, if you do not follow the way, the truth, and the life that Christ and His church has taught you, you really haven't entered through the narrow gate. In today's Gospel, Jesus says to these Catholics, "Then you will stand outside saying, 'Well, we ate in your company, we ate the Eucharist in your company, and you taught in our streets, in our church.' Then He will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from.'" As we read last week, Jesus says, "To whomever much is given, of him much shall be required." And as Jesus says this week, "Some or first will be last." The fact is, many self-proclaimed practicing Catholics, including too many priests and bishops, choose the wide gate, the easy road, all the time. And instead of recognizing this about themselves, they blame the church for being too narrow-minded, out of step with the real world. They say it needs to change its teachings and stop thinking it has the one true faith, that we own the truth. Now, most of you would probably never say things like this. You accept the church teachings and you try to follow them. That's great, and I'm very proud of you, and I'm edified by you. But is even that enough? By telling us to enter the narrow gate, Jesus isn't calling us to become some sort of unthinking, unfeeling, narrow-minded, rule-bound bureaucrats. His rules and doctrine are essential. There is a particular way to go. There is a truth to believe and a life to live, but you can't understand any of that if you don't first understand that the narrow gate is first and foremost a person. In fact, one particular person. Jesus says, I am the gate. I am the way. All of us go through life with some sort of rules that determine how we live, even if we make them up for ourselves. You know, you have a code of honor or whatever. You kind of make up rules sometimes as you go along. And maybe you live by those rules. But we all have rules. Sometimes they're very loose rules. Sometimes the rules like, if it feels good, do it. But they're still rules. It's very easy to come up with our own set of rules, but it's a whole lot harder to give and commit your life and love to another person and their rules, to their life. Because no matter how wonderful, inclusive, and multifaceted a person is, every person is unique, specific, and in a certain sense demanding. And so it is true that the gate is narrow. You must give your life to the particular person who is Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. And you must love Him and His Father and His Spirit with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Today, hear the voice of Jesus calling to you. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. And as you approach the altar today to eat the flesh of the Lord, and He enters into you, let yourself enter into Him. Enter the narrow gate. And as you leave here today, do not go back outside the gate, but go forward on that road that opens wide your heart and mind to the infinite, boundless, and yet particularly personal love of Jesus Christ. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.